the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the blessing and the peace of God, and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Our text for this evening is the one verse from Luke 23, verse 26. Now as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. We were all redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. It was between 8 and 9 o'clock on Good Friday morning. Our Lord was in the last stretch of his journey to the cross. He had not tasted food or drink since the Last Supper the night before. After the emotional Last Supper with his disciples, and after the thought of Judas betraying him, and after his farewell to his disciples, he went into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And there he was alone, as never a man had ever been alone before. Alone he began to think of the cup of death. Alone he began to experience the indescribable pain of one who was suffering in body and soul for the sins of all mankind. And being alone, the pressing weight of our sins squeezed his life's blood from his pores. And from those hours of agony, Jesus was taken in the early hours of the morning, taken by force, delivered as a bound criminal to Annas, and then to Caiaphas, and then to Pilate, and then to Herod, and then back to Pilate again. From humiliation to humiliation, from torture to torture, Jesus was hurried along the streets of Jerusalem toward his death. And through all of this, even as you heard in his responses to Pilate, Jesus had carried himself with such dignity, such majesty, such humility, that even Pilate was amazed. But the Jews, they were even more angry. They hated him without a cause. Now, as Jesus approached the outer gate of the city without refreshment of food and sleep, this manhandled, mangled man collapsed under the weight of his cross. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. The bearing of the cross of Jesus by Simon the Cyrenian recalls to our minds what Jesus himself said about cross bearing. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Jesus spoke about the bearing of the cross before he ever bore our cross upon himself. We can tell from the record that Simon was forced to carry the cross of Jesus. He was, so to speak, an innocent bystander. But Jesus says in those words to his disciples months before that each of us is to carry his own cross. And yet no one can deny himself. No one can take up his own cross unless he first accepts the shameless cross of Christ first and takes that cross upon himself. Many people want to believe they are followers of Jesus because they strive so hard to do what is good in the eyes of men and in God, they hope. And by their doing and their sacrifice, they hope to become acceptable to God. But the cross of Christ itself is really deep down distasteful to them. Why is that? It won't be admitted by anyone who seeks to please God by the performance of his own works, but the cross of Christ speaks so cruelly and so clearly about every person's own sin and guilt before God. That's why it's so distasteful. People don't really want to look upon it. They don't want to gaze upon it. They talk about it. The cross says nothing about a person's own goodness before God. It shouts to us about the vileness of our own sin. No one wants to take up a cross like that upon himself. No one wants to stand before that cross and say, "That's my shame that he suffered." That's why the cross is distasteful to people, even religious people. The cross of Christ proclaims the love of God for a world of sinners. It says nothing about a world of God-pleasers. It says there are none righteous, not one. That's what the cross says. If the cross did not proclaim the undeserved love of God for unholy mankind, then Christ would never have had to suffer it. And no one would ever have to look on it at all. But Christ's cross is the climax of human history. You know what that means? Since it's the climax of human history, and Scripture says that everything before and after points to him and is summed up in him, everybody must look at it. No one has a choice. Those who do not want to take Christ's cross upon themselves may see it as only an example, far off from them, by the way, as something they can look at a safe distance, an example of the kind of love that they are to show to others in order to earn God's acceptance. But that's the only way they want to look upon the cross. Not too close, lest it offend them. They refuse to feel the cross's powerful conviction that they themselves possess self-serving hearts. Self-serving hearts that spill over into all kinds of vile filth, jealousies, greed, envy, self-love, lying, deceit, robbery, slander, the mockery of God. And I could go on and on. You know. You felt those things. You know those things. They come from your heart and they come from mine. The cross of Christ is way too hideous and too offensive for the self-righteous to take it upon themselves. And so that cross is distasteful to them. But what about those who, by the grace of God, have faced up to the fact that it was the shame of their own sins before God which caused the death of his Son upon the cross? The believer who sees his own shame borne by the cross of Christ is unashamed to deny himself and take up his own cross and follow after Jesus as a suffering, a faithful confessor of his Savior. He isn't proud to do that, but he's thankful. He isn't self-righteous to take up a shameful cross like that, to recognize his own sin and guilt. Hardly, just the opposite. He's desperate. And because he's so desperate to take upon himself his own cross because of the cross of Christ, he's not troubled by those crosses he must endure. It wasn't long after the death of their dear Lord that the disciples suffered shame. They were severely beaten before the Jewish council for preaching about Jesus, some of those apostles. What was their reaction to this humiliating and painful event? We're told they departed from the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his shame, for his name. To suffer shame for his name. It couldn't be otherwise for them. For the simple reason that they all knew that their greatest shame and disgrace had been already borne by the Son of God, the Holy One, upon the cross, when He suffered for their sins. That was the great shame. And all the punishment went upon Him, the Holy Son of God, on their behalf. This they knew deep in their own hearts. How could they ever be ashamed to take up their own crosses and follow Jesus? Impossible. As long as the distasteful cross of Christ had become tasteful to them by the grace of the Holy Spirit. It is in this way that we should understand the words of the hymn writer. Ashamed of Jesus? Yes, I may, when I've no guilt to wash away, no tear to wipe, no good to crave, no fear to quell, no soul to save. Till then, nor is my boasting vain, till then I boast a Savior slain, and oh, may this be all my glory, that Christ is not ashamed of me. No one becomes a follower of Jesus simply by hanging a cross around his neck. There are no cheap crosses to bear for Christ. When he says, deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me, he's asking some real heavy things from us. He's asking us, first of all, to give up and lay aside that which is nearest and dearest to us. Old number one, our own self-love and pride. He's asking us to be ready and willing to do without the things that we love and treasure the most in this world, if he should ask us to do so for his sake. He's asking us to hold and to defend his teachings, which may bring ridicule on us from the world that is hostile to him. Maybe even the ridicule of our friends and family. And finally, he's asking us to suffer the physical pains and the suffering of meeting death. And to do it to his glory. Bring glory to his saving name before others by not complaining, by not being terrorized by that which is conquered already. So you see, it's no easy thing to bear our crosses after Christ. We must find strength that is offered in the message of the cross that Jesus bore for us. We must always come back and look hard upon that cross that is so distasteful to our human nature and claim it again for ourselves. Remember the inner struggle the Lord experienced in the garden. He debated with himself over this whole idea of taking up the cross of his death. And so in his prayer to his heavenly Father, he said, "What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour?" No. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And with these words, Jesus teaches us that there is a purpose for the children of God to take up their crosses, whatever they may be. And that's the glory of the Father's name. By the power of the cleansing blood of his own Son, God has called us to follow the path of Jesus all the way. The ups and downs, over the stones, up the mountains, slogged through the mud. Wherever Jesus went, through the sufferings of this life, all the way to the joys of eternal life. So that he may have the glory. Being a Christian means that one must bear his own cross for Jesus' sake and for the Father's glory. But before we can bear our own crosses in this life, we have to be brought to sincere repentance and faith to accept the shame of the cross of Jesus, the one who was crucified for us and because of our sins. Simon, the Cyrenian, at that time, we don't know about later in life,
There are those who believe that he was converted to Christ.
Simon did not volunteer to bear the shameful cross of Christ at this moment, but neither have we ever volunteered to accept the cross of Christ upon ourselves with its shame for our sins. That wasn't something we chose. But how thankful we are to God the Holy Spirit that he by his law caused us to look upon that cross and to feel our shame, to be convicted of our sin. And then, when we were on our knees before the cross, lifted us up and caused that cross to be lovely and life-giving to us, to faith. How blessed we are that he has caused us to take the cross of Christ and make it our own. And as we witness the love of our Savior, which is infinite, the one who denied himself all the way to make us his own, then we will not be disappointed. Another hymn writer invites us, "Soar with me now where Christ has led, following our exalted head. Made like him we rise. Ours the cross, the grave, the sky." Amen. Now may this peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and thoughts from every anxiety as you look upon the cross of your Lord Savior with faith. Amen.